there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Many of you know a little bit about my life before Jesus, that I was a little wild and crazy. A little story on what being wild and crazy pre-Jesus, outside of the Holy Spirit. Summer of 97, I was 14 years old. Good times, me and my buddies hanging out. We're tight. We skated, we kicked hacked, and we smoked weed. That was what we did. I think we played video games too and watched movies, whatever, but for the most part, that was what we were about. Well, one of us got a phone call from a guy, and they listened to rap, and we didn't like them because of that. I don't know. I think that was kind of it. And so words were shared, and things got escalated, and being really smart with it, 14-year-old boys, you know, totally reasonable, logical, can really think through long-term consequences. We decided to pick a fight with each other. So we're going to do this neighborhood brawl with those guys and us guys, and there's probably six of us and who knows how many of them. So we named a place, we named a time, and it was a school ground. Pretty smart. So yeah, might as well. And so with that to boot, we brought knives, chains, bats, skateboards, and things like that. So we were committed to what we were fighting for. And fortunately, thank the Lord, they didn't show up. Who knows what would have happened, because at that point, you don't stop. You don't back down. And that is kind of an extreme example. Maybe you don't have a story like that, but we do, all of us, find ourselves getting down the road of fighting the wrong fight. It gets out of control, and what's the point of backing down at this point? I'm so far into it, right? There is such a greater calling that Apostle Paul calls us to. 2 Timothy 4:7, we've been looking at this. He says, I have fought the good fight. And so that is an anchor for us. I have fought the good fight, meaning there is a fight. Like it or not, there is a fight. You're in a fight. And so what we've been looking at is, who do you fight? How do you fight? We're not looking to just go pick crazy fights. There is a fight we're in. Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. What is that? How do we go about that? So that's what we've been looking at. A couple weeks ago, we looked at polarizing views, especially how the news is filled with polarizing views and controversy, and we can get really lost and hung up in those things. But we are called that there is more than just what's going on in this physical realm. There's more at play. So with that, we're called to be strong in the Lord's strength and put on His full armor of God. And then last week, Evan Meskey here, we talked about hate speech and how do you deal with people that have different opinions of yours inside the church as well as outside the church. And this is something that he said. These were his points. Invite them in. Invite them back. Don't ignore and don't attack. He did such a good job. If you missed that, there's CDs out in the lobby. You can always listen to it on the app or on the website. So today what we're tackling is, what is your tribe? Every single one of us belongs to something. Yellow feather tribe. I have no clue what Indian feather. That's clever. What is your tribe? Who do you belong to? Who do you associate yourself with? Who do you identify as? I am with them. I am not with them. Right? I am, you fill in the blank. And the list is long. For example, Republican, Democrat, Green Party, liberal, conservative. I'm a Steelers fan. I'm a Packers fan. Right? I don't even like NFL anymore. I'm just college. I am a mom. I am a dad. I am a male. I am a female. I am an outdoor woodsy person. I am a business person. I am a white collar person. I'm a blue collar person. And on goes the line. I'm old school. I'm new school. I'm denominational. I'm non-denominational. I'm married. I'm single. I'm divorced. I'm young. I'm old, right? I'm a victim. I'm an overcomer. I'm a survivor. And we have these, we associate ourselves, what tribe are we a part of? Who do we belong to? Who do we associate ourselves with? And I'm not with those guys, right? Paul Schroeder, one of our staple preachers here, he shared this story with me to contribute to this message, and I'm going to pass it on to you. So it's called, the story is, Don't Jump, Me Too. Once I saw a guy on a bridge about to jump, and I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. Are you a Christian or a Jew? He says, a Christian. I said, me too. A Protestant or a Catholic? He said, a Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, a Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region council in 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region council of 1912. I said, die heretic, and I pushed him over. Which, funny enough, that's how we are. I'm good with you, I'm good with you, I'm good with you. We're on the same page. I like what you like until you don't, and then we're not. It's a little extreme, but it captures us. Fighting the right fight. Oh, man, I forgot. I totally spaced it. That's okay. Fighting the right fight. There's an importance to the priorities of tribes that we belong to and associate ourselves with. Take, for example, you have a state-issued driver's license versus a Costco card, right? The United States government of the state of Idaho has issued you a driver's license because you took their test, you passed their test, written and road, and you follow their rules, so you get to keep it, and you get to drive a vehicle all over any of their roads. Right, into even other states and into even other countries, they're going to ask for this and look at this, who you identify with and who you're associated with compared to a Costco membership card, meaning you can go into their store and buy their stuff. You can go to lots of other stores and buy lots of other stuff, but at this store, you need this to be able to get in. There's one that has priority and precedence over the other one. There's one that is more significant than the other, right? When you get pulled over, they're not going to be asking you for your Costco membership card to verify yourself and who you are, right? So who we belong to and identify matters. There's one that supersedes the other. Let's look to John 1, 12 through 13. Let's see what is said. John 1, 12 through 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To all who received him, who believed in his name, how you received him was by believing, received by believing, in his name, he gave the right to become his kid. You are now the son, the daughter of our Heavenly Father. You belong to him. And this wasn't human doing. This wasn't human being. This wasn't human planning. This was greater, better. It was God. So, for us, there is something that we belong to that's far greater than Costco, or the state of Idaho, or the United States of America, or whatever tribe we associate with. There's something far greater, and it starts with us being gods, not plural, possessive, right? You are gods. You belong to God. That's your first fill in the blank there. Christian, you are gods. You need to know that. We need to keep that in view. We belong to him. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His kids and we belong to Him. So since we are God's kids, you're a part of His family. You're a part of the Heavenly Father's family. And being a part of the Heavenly Father's family, you need to know and be reminded of the rules. How many of you have had the privilege of raising kids? You are in it or you've done it, right? And there's some rules to how the family operates, right? And the reason the rules exist is for everybody's protection and safety and well-being. There's rules that we go by as a family. In the Lessard's home, we got some rules. I actually just tested my kids. I said, hey, write this out. What are the written, what are the spoken rules? What are the unspoken rules? Things that we've said a ton of times, right? Any of you parents ever repeated a rule once or twice or a thousand, right? What do you know has been said? And then what are the unspoken ones? You've been a part of this family for our oldest 17 years, for our youngest 9 years. What are other rules you've picked on that we haven't spoken to, right? And so that was interesting. So rule number one certainly is no lying. You lie, you die. In the Lessard home, it's just like honesty, right? Now, reality is every single one of us has broken this. This is a hard conversation to have, going back and say, honey, I'm sorry, that isn't exactly how it went. I was kind of protecting myself, and that wasn't right. I wanna level with you. Every single one of us have had that conversation. So another rule is get along. Stop fighting. Jeez, knock it off. You got to figure out how to work with each other, right? Parents have the final say at the end of the day with what's happening. Leave the door open unless it's summer and we want it open, or we burnt something in the kitchen and we need to get the smoke out, which happens, right? Take your shoes off while you're in the house. I'm a horrible offender of that. Lisa's always reminding me, hey, why are your shoes on still? So part of the family, there's rules. Part of the family, there's rules. And so we need to go over the rules for fighting the good fight as a family of God. What are the rules that we go by? And number one, if you're new to the family or you've been in the family for a long time, it still applies just as much. Rule number one is be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. As a part of the family of God, fighting the right fight, rule number one is be a peacemaker. Check this out. Jesus' words, Matthew 9, love this. For being a part of the family and what the rules are. Matthew 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Direct connection to. You being a peacemaker is a direct connection to you being His kid. And the more you're like His kid, the more others can go, you're acting a lot like your Heavenly Father. You ever had that? You ever said that? You look a lot like your dad, right? Or those mannerisms, you look a lot like your mom. Or what you're doing, that's just like your parents. Being a peacemaker is being like our Heavenly Father, so much so that Jesus says, you are acting as if you are His son, you are His daughter. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, because that's who God is. He is a peacemaker. Now, let's put some definition to this. Blessed, we've looked at this word multiple times, makarios in the Greek, is fortunate, well-off, blessed, happy. It's going to be good for you when you do these things. It is going to be well for you. It is going to go well for you when you commit to these things, make these things a priority, and are about these things. Specifically, peacemaking for this one, beatitude. And then being a peacemaker to promote peace, being peaceable, and I love loving peace. Promoting peace, being peaceable, and even loving peace. I care so much about peace that I love it. I love it. I desire it. I'm attracted to it. And then peace, putting some definition to that word peace, to join, oneness, quietness, rest, set at one again, peace. Think about a recent conflict that you had that was completely resolved. Think about the struggle, the turmoil, the frustration, the heartache, whatever it was, and then either you went and said, I was wrong, I'm sorry, or they did. And once that was done, once the right thing was addressed, once the right thing was said, it's done. It's set at one again. It is as it's supposed to be. The world is set in order again, right? At peace, wholeness, bringing those broken pieces together for restoration. Blessed are the peacemakers, those that are committed to it. Now, people are twisted on their understanding of peace. And so I want to just contrast what peace isn't. We're not talking about being a peacemaker by being passive and just hoping everything goes away. How many of you are sweepers? You like sweeping stuff under the rug, just hoping that it goes away. I'm not going to deal with it, and la, la, la. You know, just hope it just resolves itself, right? And they just all of a sudden forget the offenses I've done, right? That's not how it works. Nothing goes away until it's resolved. That's how God has ordered the universe, let alone ourselves, let alone our conscience. We are to be active in this process of making peace, right? That's the maker part. There's work that's required. There's work to be done. So we're not talking passivity, just hoping everything just goes away on its own, regardless of anything that we have to do. But we're also not talking about being aggressive and a jerk, right? Being a bulldog and just looking to beat people up, right? There's a handgun called the peacemaker. That's not exactly what we're talking about, right? And going around and bullying and forcing our way for them to admit what they needed to or whatever, right? It's in the middle. God's called us to something greater, better than hoping it goes away and then bullying people into our position, okay? And I love Romans 12:18. That addresses this. Romans 12:18 is solid. It is such a great text. Let's look at this. And I didn't have it in your notes, but it should be up on your screen. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So take that in view of God's part, my part, and their part. God, Jesus said, my Father's always at work, and I too am working. God is always going to be doing his part, reconciling, repairing. The Spirit is always doing his part in bringing about truth, right? In conviction and addressing and illuminating and so on, right? God is always doing his part. He's always good. All the time, he does not change. Even when we're unfaithful, he's not. He never changes. So he's always going to do his part with you, with me, with somebody that we're hurting for right now because they're out trying to figure out life on life's terms and the world on world's terms. God is good. He knows how to get their attention. He knew how to get a hold of the prodigal son's attention, right? So there's God's part. He's going to do his. Then there's our part. And how responsible are you to do your part? Are you 50% responsible? Or are you 100% responsible? Nobody is going to do your part for you. You are completely responsible for your part. God's not going to do your part for you. And they're not going to. You have to do your part, and you're 100% responsible for, as you stand before your heavenly Father, in whom you belong into his family, and he's the parent, and you have to answer to him about how you're conducting yourself as a part of the family, okay? So, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I love the conditionalness of that. If possible, as far as it depends on you, right? Meaning, you're responsible to do your part, but you can't control theirs, right? You are not able to make other people do their parts or not. You're not that powerful. Only God is. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live peaceably with all. And that's a choice. That's a choice. So, rule number one, family of God rules for fighting the right fight is being a peacemaker. Choosing that, participating with God on that level. Rule number two for family of God rules for fighting the right fight is love one another. Love one another. Direct connection from peace and love. John 13:35 says this. It says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. By this, everybody's going to know you're God's kid because of how you act, right? You look a lot like your dad. When you do that, you look a lot like your heavenly dad. You reflect him well. The PLP version, Pat Lessard paraphrase version, there's supposed to be another P in there for the paraphrase. I'll have to fix that. It says, you'll be easily identified as belonging to God's family by how well you love one another. You look like a duck, you smell like a duck, you sound like a duck, you got feathers like a duck. Chances are, right? Chances are, when you act these ways, when you talk these ways, when you handle conflict and differences and difficulties and fights these ways, like your heavenly Father, you take it as serious as him. You're not flipping to these other extremes, just handling things in your own means. Right? You look like your heavenly dad. You wear Jesus well. Total hypothetical question, okay? If you had to earn your way into heaven by how well you loved, genuinely loved others, would you get in? Total hypothetical. If you had to earn your way into heaven by how well you genuinely loved others, how would you fare? Now, fortunately, God thought of a better plan versus hanging something over your head and you working. You working at it, and it would always go to legalism or rebellion. That's the two sides, rebellion or legalism. But God thought it best that he would give you complete freedom to choose. Since he made you in his image and his likeness, you are free to choose to, choose not to. Choose to participate with him in what he's doing or choose to not. He has given you his word. He wrote a book. He's given you his spirit to empower you, to lead you, to guide you. He's given you other brothers and sisters as well. That I can go to John Swanstrom and say, hey, in this season of life, in parenting or marriage, how did you handle this? And I have strength and wisdom to lean on and press into and receive outside of my very limited heart, mind, experience, and so on. So God thought it best for you not to earn your way into heaven by proving yourself, but that you'd have freedom to choose, to participate with him or not. By his spirit, by his word, by his family, that would be enough and it would be better. Let's look. When it comes to love, there's not a greater passage than 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you have read the Amplified Bible or are familiar with the Amplified Bible? Few hands. So I want to introduce this to you if you're not. So it's an interesting Bible version that takes some words and it gives more definition and explanation to some other words and just kind of builds it out. And if you're a wordy kind of guy like me, it's appealing. So let's look 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, grown out of God's love for me, then I will become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Verse 2, and if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people, and an understanding all mysteries and possessing all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but don't have love, reaching out to others, I'm nothing. Verse 3, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good. Now, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, I want you to be thinking about in view of a recent conflict you've been in or one that you currently are in. Some tension, some strife, and I want you to insert yourself in that in a way of saying, when it says love does this, go, I choose to do this. When love does this, I choose by his spirit, by his word, by strength of my brothers and sisters, by choice of dying to myself, right? One of our favorite things to talk about, humbling ourselves, dying to ourselves, submitting to others. Let's read. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love doesn't brag, and it's not proud, and it's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive, nor easily angered. It doesn't take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each other, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, and enduring all things without weakness. Pretty high calling, huh? Pretty high order. How do you do that? How do you do that? You don't have it in you, right? I don't either. We're on the same page. That's where his spirit gives us the ability to do what we can't do in ourselves. That's where the strength of the brotherhood, the sisterhood, gives us strength and support and accountability that we don't have in ourselves of ourselves. God intentionally made you weak. God intentionally made you limited, that you could not do all these things on your own. You would need him, and you would need his family. There's rules for the family. You're a part of the family, like it or not, okay? You're a part of the family. How well you participate with the family affects how efficient and effective this works for you, as well as what you bring to others, brothers and sisters, and helping them in their road as well. And then there's this whole dying to self piece. I'm going to choose to set myself aside. I need to look at where I've been wrong, where I'm at fault. I need to speak to that. I need to address that. And then I also need to hear from them too. What have I done that's hurt you, that's offended you? What have I done that's misrepresented, miscommunicated? I took too far. I was overly sensitive, or I was overly angered. What do I need to look at? What do I need to hear? What do I need to apologize? Because this happens among the family, with each other. The closer we are, the more it's exposed. And so there's rules when it comes to the family. Fighting the right fight, rule number one is being a peacemaker. You have to actively, we have to actively choose that. Number two would be love one another. What I want to do here as we just finish up this time is to take a moment to pray. And I want the Spirit to minister to you. I want the Word of God to minister to you. I want you to prayerfully consider. It's one thing to come to church. It's one thing to hear the Word preached. And it's another thing to just leave and not do anything about it. So let's take a moment to pray. Let's take a moment to seek our Heavenly God, our Heavenly Dad, and go, what would you have for me in this? What stands out to me in this? What are you doing? What are you needing to do? So let's take a moment, just pray, bow our heads, be still before God.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app. or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.